Well, good morning, TNC family, on this final Sunday in September, where today here we conclude a series called Lost Words, about words we need to recover the best definition of and how, if we do, on the foundation of the scriptures and the presence of God in the world today, we can experience a life of greater peace and purpose and joy. And the word I want to talk about with you today is peace, a word that feels lost to me in our day. Because finding worry and fear, the opposite of peace, that feels easy to me. Just pay attention to conversations around money, body, age, personal health, education, jobs, commute, crime, sexuality, pregnancy, climate change, democracy, politics, the weather, the future, the sound under the hood, the noise behind the refrigerator, the clatter from across the street, and on and on. And I'm not saying we should not care or not pay attention to many of those things, but I am saying today that fear and worry over them aren't the most helpful emotions. Rather, peace amid these things, which is hard to find in our day, is what we most need, and is exactly what Jesus offers. Do not worry, he says over and over. You don't have to be afraid. You can live at peace. Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. And Jesus answered, quote, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is within you." And part of what Jesus meant was that the kingdom of God brings things like, well, John chapter 14, for example, "Peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. I do not give as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." And the Apostle Paul picks up on this in his New Testament letters. He says peace is a presently available condition for a person currently living in the way of Jesus, the kingdom of God. In fact, at one point, he lists some of the adversity he's faced. In a letter written to the church at Corinth around 57 Common Era, chapter 11, verse 23, quote, "I have worked harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 different times, the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea." Yikes! That's a bad run of days, TNC. But he goes on, verse 26, "I have traveled on many hard journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've endured many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm." Verse 28, "Then besides all of this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches." And TNC, that is a very long list, but if you know his story, then you also know that he goes on, that he has learned to tap into a hidden reservoir of strength amid these things. And that reservoir is the peace of Christ. To the church at Philippi, he writes chapter 4, "I have learned to be content in every situation." And to the church at Colossae, he encourages them to follow his lead. Chapter 3, "Allow the peace of Christ to rule in your hearts." And he tells Timothy in his second letter, chapter 2, that peace can be pursued alongside righteousness, faith, and love. Ephesians chapter 3, "Guard your heart." 2 Thessalonians 3, "Pray for peace." And I could go on and on, because these are just a few of the places where the scriptures call us to pursue peace and to live in peace. And here's what I want you to notice, though, about all of these things. Peace in none of these situations is a passive thing. It's a proactive pursuit. Did you notice the words seek, allow, invite, pray, learn to be at peace? We must pursue peace, the scriptures say. And Paul says that when we find it, Philippians 4:7, that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will stand guard over your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So, let's talk for a few minutes about how to look for, find, and experience the peace of God. And what I hope you'll notice is that none of what I'm about to say is going to be about how to insulate yourself from challenges, hard work, conflict, or trouble. And that's because the peace that Jesus taught about, that the scriptures describe, is always a stillness in your heart in the middle of struggle, fear, doubt, and trouble. So, here now are four practical ways to pursue peace. Number one, tune your attentions. Tune your attentions. I was driving the other morning, came to a stop at a traffic light, looked over at the person in the car next to me, and I kid you not, this woman was eating a bagel, drinking coffee, applying makeup, talking on her Bluetooth, tapping her touchscreen in the middle of the dashboard as she glanced at me and smiled at one point. And then after the light turned green, I was through the intersection when she finally realized the light was green, courtesy of the reminder of a car's horn behind her. I think this is a perfect snapshot of our culture that is hurried and disordered. People whose attentions spin from one thing to the other to the other. Like, do you ever feel like that spinning circle when a computer program is uploading or downloading? Or when you log in to watch a streaming show on television, you know that spinning circle that goes around and around? I think that's us. Spin, spin, spin. Trying to offload our overload, download our payload, upload the mother load, reload and unload and freeload, spin. And now Jesus, Matthew chapter 6, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, about your body or what you will wear. Don't worry about the spin. Verse 27, instead, tune in to the lilies of the field and notice that they do not toil, nor do they spin. They might be trampled underfoot, eaten by animals, battered by the wind, but they don't spin. Rather, they stay connected to the soil, taking in the water, and tuned in to the sun, taking in its energy. For those of you who have read the Harry Potter series of books or seen the movies, it's the sword of Gryffindor that only drinks in what will make it stronger. In the story, the sword has several magical abilities, but its most fascinating one to me is it absorbs anything it comes into contact with that will give it more power, and it resists anything that robs it of power. Now, I love that. Sounds exactly to me like Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, turn your attention. Think about, take in these things. And what's the best strategy for doing this? Well, I'm going to give you just one. Plan your day tomorrow tonight. So plan tonight when you're going to wake up tomorrow, but also the food you'll eat, the music and TV stations you'll listen to, when you'll exercise, pray, read, accomplish that task, go to bed, because a disordered schedule often leads to a spinning heart, a recipe for a lack of peace. But if you have a thoughtful, prayerful outline for taking in what is truly lovely and excellent, then it will move you towards inner peace. Number one, tune your attentions. Number two, take action. Pursue physical solutions for emotional problems. Because it turns out almost all interior problems, stress, worry, and fear, and so on, they have some external physical solution. Proof of this is seen in why sailing in the Atlantic Ocean would cause me internal fear and worry, but to a trained sailor, wouldn't do it at all. Because that sailor has developed external physical tools and responses such that sunset in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle is heavenly for them, but for me it would be stressful. Now, in the same way, you can develop external routines and tools. Exercise daily, a great way for reducing internal stress, increasing your peace. Eat healthfully daily. Go online and add to your savings account every single paycheck, even if it's just $5. Practice a skill, athletic, artistic, writing, speaking every single day. Physical solutions for emotional problems. Here's my favorite one. If you're upset or angry or discouraged or unsettled in your life right now, then quick, today, do something, anything for anybody other than yourself. That's right. Be generous. Go and give some value, some help, some money, some relief to someone who is down and out and lonely and sorrowful, and it will lift up your spirit. This is backed up, of course, by positive psychology and peer-reviewed academic studies on the brain science of generosity and giving. You don't have to feel peace in your spirit in order to bring peace to somebody else, but through the act of giving to somebody else, you will give yourself into a place of peace. Because when you give, you are stepping into life in the kingdom of God, and life in the kingdom of God is always going to lead you to the greatest kind of peace. So, number one, tune your attentions. Number two, take action. Pursue physical solutions for emotional problems. Okay, number three, trust the right people. Trust the right people, because if you get around the right people, then you won't have to face your battles alone, which will increase your odds of overcoming that challenge, reduce your stress, increase your peace. A few years ago, war journalist Sebastian Younger, he wrote a book called War, no subtitle, it was just called War. It was based on an experience he had actually while he embedded himself with a platoon of American soldiers stationed in one of the most dangerous parts of Afghanistan. He spent an entire year in the rugged highlands there with soldiers who faced the worst fighting and toughest conditions of any unit stationed there. And in the book, he describes months of day after day, mind-numbing danger, multiple firefights, blood injuries, death, crazy tension, nearly unbearable conditions. Yet, these soldiers, they fight with optimism and success and hope. And he wants to know, why aren't they more worried, stressed, and depressed? And what he discovers is that what gives them the courage needed to engage in battle with calmness and sacrifice was this intense brotherhood that the soldiers had formed. He wrote another book later called Tribe, about leaning into and trusting your tribe. Now, of course, that's a real life story, but it reminds me of a scientific study done in a laboratory first published in the American Journal of Epidemiology, where they discovered that if you put a mouse in a group of strangers, that mouse's heart rate goes up. And in a situation where there's not enough food or water, that little mouse's blood pressure will go way up. But if they put that same mouse in the same situation but next to his brothers and sisters, his blood pressure doesn't go up at all. Brené Brown, the best-selling professor, author, and speaker, she just puts it this way in one sentence. Connection is why we're here. Austrian Jewish theologian and philosopher Martin Buber puts it this way. All real living is meeting. And he's not talking about, hey, nice to meet you. He's talking about deep connections with people, face to face, getting around folks for whom, when you get around them, your heart lights up and your heart opens up and your confidence surges and your courage grows and you are fueled to overcome that bad habit or to double down on that discipline or to forgive again or to love more deeply or believe more hopefully or pray more faithfully, laugh more joyfully. And what's the result of doing all those things? Well, peace. I'm not alone. I can do this. I can face this. So, TNC, what is your plan to pursue trusted friendships? Here's one plan. Come to church regularly on Sundays. Get to know people. Or join TNC's book club, restaurant trivia teams, women's group, fantasy sports leagues, serving groups, charity projects, and on. Because if you find trusted friends, and if you learn how to be a trusted friend, then look out, here comes peace. Number one, tune your attentions. Number two, take action. Pursue physical solutions for emotional problems. Number three, trust the right people. And finally, number four, tell God. This is from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Quote, don't worry about anything, instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Tell God, pray, the text says. Now, this is a discipline that's fundamental to our faith, to all faiths, really. And yes, it can be challenging, but at the same time, it comes with an almost immediate reward, which is you sense you're not alone. You verbally offloaded your stress. You followed the way of Jesus. You've engaged in that great mystical back and forth conversation with the God of the universe. Pray. And here at TNC, I would just invite you to engage, re-engage, recommit to a life of prayer and meditation, because it is directly linked to finding peace. Now, I just want to end by reading some sentences from the writing of late USC professor and spiritual writer Dallas Willard from chapter 7 in his book, Renovation of the Heart, where he writes about peace. Most people carry a heavy burden of care, usually about things that are important in life. What will happen to their loved ones, their finances, their health, death, their physical appearance, what others think of them, the future of society, their standing before God, and their eternal destiny. And few have a peace that reaches their body and its automatic responses to such a depth that it does not live in a covert state of alarm. But, he writes, we were not meant to live carrying around the burden of all these outcomes. Instead, we are invited to a life of the easy yoke. Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, Jesus says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then Willard writes, through faith in Jesus, we can have the assurance that our ultimate outcome is life forever with God. And so we can live with this ultimate peace. Four ways to pursue peace and to find it in a world where it is largely lost. Number one, tune your attentions. Number two, take action. Pursue physical solutions for emotional problems. Number three, trust the right people. Number four, tell God. Tune, take, trust, tell. Let's pray. God, we live in a world where sometimes peace is really hard to find. War, elections, anger, violence, addictions, a lack of purpose, and on and on. And so today, here, now, we pause and remember those words spoken by Jesus, recorded in John 14. My peace I leave you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives peace, but a peace that overcomes the world. So, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. God, we lean to that promise today and pray that we would live from it, that those we love would learn the truth of it today, this week, and for all our days ahead. Now, TNC, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you, would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, would turn his face towards you, and give you peace. Amen.